Yeah, buddy, here we go. Hour 2, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. We fly to New Orleans Monday night after the show. Just got a message from Craig Gass, the comedian who joined us last year. Joined us last year at Shell Shack as well. It's a heck of a guest, and he's going to connect with us down there in New Orleans. I think he's doing stuff with Gleason, the former NFL safety. Yeah,
I think they're having a benefit.
Okay,
they're having a benefit on one of the nights. I actually was invited to go for my old roommate at LSU. And so, yeah, I think he's down there probably performing for the benefit is what he's
right
gonna
on.
Do.
Yeah, right on. Well, we look forward to next week and, you know, sharing all our stories from the road and all the fun times. And, of course, the A-list celebrities and guests that will be joining us throughout the week there at our broadcast position. They're really fixing it up this year for us, too. We got an amazing backdrop. We're going to look like proper TV stars there on your home of the Cowboys, as we should.
Yeah.
You know?
Dang right.
I think we're pretty much the stars of Radio Row. It's fitting. C-Notes coming up at 3:20. We'll do the Cowboys news of the evening with you. Here's Chia Fala with his NFL news of the day.
Okay, so the Saints plan to meet again with Kellen Moore after the Super Bowl. Strong sign he's their top candidate for the team's head coaching job. They've told all the other guys, Kafka, Weaver, some of the other dudes that were in the running, like, hey, just so you know, we're not until after the Super Bowl. So all signs pointing to Kellen Moore being that guy. And Danny Rossini said that there are concerns about the QB position, but Kellen Moore worked through it, knowing the Saints are giving him time and support if he gets the job. Because this is obviously a long-term rebuild for the Saints with the way their salary cap is, roster not all that awesome, the quarterback situation up in the air. So Kellen Moore looks like he's going to end up getting that Saints head job, which, you know, McCarthy, that's just insult to injury for him. But I wonder what their quarterback situation is going to look like. Broadus, they pick in the top 10 there. They pick at number 9, right?
Pick at number 9, yeah. So, you know, maybe they'll one of these quarterbacks might slide to him. We'll see how these people have it. Great. I think the top 10 is really kind of unpredictable because of what we've seen so far. There's a couple of guys, whether it's the Penn State edge or Ginty, these guys. I mean, there's questions about the offensive line. This thing could be really messed up in the top as people try and navigate and make sure that they take the guy that, like I've always talked about, you know, the best player, the healthiest player, maybe the best character players as well. It's that top 10. You just do not want to make a mistake up there. And, you know, you could see some teams try and bail out of there, but what are teams coming up for? You know, if, let me tell you this, if somebody is interested really in Ashton Ginty, it seems like the line potentially could be Dallas at 12. There could be a trade up situation right there. If somebody trying to get ahead of Dallas, you get a team like San Francisco at 11, to just bails because somebody has to think, somebody's thinking, well, Dallas is going to
take. We got to get ahead of Dallas.
We got to get ahead of Dallas.
If and we want Jensen.
So all of a sudden then, you know, I think there's some people in the fan base, honestly, and the closer we get to it, that are probably hoping that Ashton Ginty is not on the board when Dallas picks. A fan base. You know, a group of folks are like, listen, don't let them make this decision. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, I got you.
You know, like
don't even let it be an option for them.
Yeah, like take it out of Dallas's hands. Go draft a receiver. Go draft an offensive lineman. Go draft a defensive tackle. Go draft, you know, draft a corner. I think there's a lot of people out there that are terrified that Dallas will make the call and draft Ashton Ginty. But if he's taken out of play before you get to 12.
Yeah.
I think there's going to be some people that are probably pretty relieved if you're in that crowd of not taking a running back at 12.
I think they will. You know, I see more thoughts from Will McClay at the Senior Bowl. We'll talk about those coming up at 4:00. But it just feels like, you know, they're looking at the running back position as a significant need more than offensive line and wide receiver.
Well, I'm looking forward to that conversation. Ian Rappaport says that the Browns and the Giants are both likely to take a quarterback in the draft and really in those top few picks there.
Yeah.
So it's obviously still super early, but that if that ends up being the case, then a team like the Patriots or somebody will be able to get an Abdul Carter or a Travis Hunter, if whoever the Titans pass on at number one, if it's one of those guys, and then quarterback, then you're the Patriots or somebody. Because I was thinking maybe the Saints at nine would be very interested, Kellen Moore getting a Shador or a Cam Ward or something if they slip out of the top five.
Yeah.
But Ian Rappaport, and it's still early, but he's saying the Browns and the Giants are looking at going quarterback.
We just need to keep focus on the draft with these quarterbacks as we get through them. Could a guy like Jackson Dart be a guy that, you know, he's going to come from probably the bottom of the board? Could he come up? Could somebody like him that much, a quarterback needy team, just say, listen, this guy's got everything we want. He's got the intangibles. He's got the measurables. He's a winner, played a lot of snaps. You know,
just has the small hands.
Yeah, that's, you know, but they'll say unless you're a cold weather team, that's an issue. But you know, if somebody could surprise us with one of these quarterbacks that we're kind of thinking at maybe the end of the first or beginning of the second.
Do you guys see Kellen Moore going to New Orleans as a win for the Cowboys to get him out of the division, or is this a loss because it'll reopen that OC spot for Philadelphia to bring somebody else in? Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, yeah, I think there's a real chance that the Eagles could upgrade from Kellen Moore. Now, it's obviously late in the process for the Eagles, you know, because they're not losing Kellen Moore until after the Super Bowl, and maybe they're trying to back channel things right now. But I don't know exactly who would be available for them. But yeah, it is that is an interesting way to look at it.
Here's my bold statement. I think I could call plays in Philadelphia.
You know what I'm Barkley saying? Barkley right, Barkley left.
Barkley, the receivers.
Goddard screen.
Yeah, the screens.
Deep shot to Brown.
I mean, you know, hey, Brian, keep the quarterback out of having to make a lot of plays unless he's running with the ball, you know, maybe some design runs. But, yeah, I think that whoever – if Kellen Moore moves on, whoever gets that opportunity, you know, that's going to be – and my hope is they don't get somebody that's even, like, more dynamic.
Right,
you know,
right,
like,
yeah,
all of a sudden, yeah, like a Cliff Kingsbury guy shows up all of a sudden in Philadelphia, and you've gone from Kellen Moore kind of using the offense this way, and all of a sudden you get a dynamic Joe Brady kind of guy or somebody.
Dude, I'd be trying to go get Chip Kelly out of Ohio State, potentially. You know,
I mean, he was head coach in Philadelphia.
I know, that'd be an interesting reunion.
I just
doesn't add up.
I don't think that would happen.
But that would be an upgrade.
Well, see, that's the thing about it. Like, Chip and Howie just did not get along at all.
Oh,
like,
okay.
He put Howie on ice for 2 years.
There you go.
And then when Chip came back in, assuming Howie came back in, every one of Chip Kelly's guys were shown the door.
Gone.
Yeah.
Well, everybody thinks that Shador Sanders is a surefire lock to go to the Giants after what he said last night at AT&T Stadium for the Shrine Bowl with Jane Slater. Take it away, Shador.
Now, being in this stadium is definitely fun. I know I'll play here very soon against the Cowboys.
Ooh. So everybody's going, okay, that ties him to the Giants then, I guess. You don't have the Browns, who are picking ahead of the Giants, on the Cowboys schedule for next year. So maybe – and we know that the Giants were super – I mean, they've been all over the Colorado campus this year monitoring
– Yes, they have.
Shador Sanders.
Absolutely,
it seems like they've loved that.
Deion
and everybody, I think, would be totally fine. Him in New York with the Giants, that's probably one of their destinations they'd be very excited about. And they kept their entire staff, you know, when it comes to the offensive side of things, Dable still being the head coach. So the hay's in the barn on the evaluation there. So maybe Shador already knows. Doesn't matter that they're not picking at number one.
Yeah.
He's still going to end up as a
they're
playing
a
the AFC West, right? So either Raiders or Giants.
Yeah. Exactly. You're playing the West this year. So sure. The thing about, I think that's going to be interesting with him, you know, being with the Giants and stuff like that, he could be the guy that actually saves the general managers and the head coaches' jobs. You know what I'm saying? When you have a new quarterback, then all of a sudden they get him to play well, but it's not a playoff team, but they get him to play well and there's promise. Sometimes ownership gives coaches a little bit of leeway on that. And I think they got one foot in the parking lot, but this kid might very well come in and save it for him.
How about the potential depoy in the NFL this year, Patrick Surtain? Broncos corner saying, put me at receiver. Let me make a couple plays here and there. Yeah. I can do it. Whatever route you need me to, whatever you need me to do, I'm there. Me at receiver is very dynamic. We're already seeing the Travis Hunter impact. He hasn't even made it to the NFL yet, and you're having guys talking about how, hey, I could be a two-way guy. And especially if you see Travis Hunter find success doing it in the NFL the same way he's had it so far throughout his entire football playing days, I think you're going to see not only guys throughout the draft process trying to maybe get something like that going, but just already established dudes on either side of the ball in the NFL going, hey, I can do that too, bro.
I mean, especially if you're talent needy, some of the most great athletes are at corner. They were high school receivers. They were running backs. At some point, they made a switch to corner, but I feel like you can, you know, bring those skills. I mean, and some of these guys with their ball skills, they're already practicing them, you know?
Right.
I want to see Jerron Bland, instead of some of the Cowboy wide receivers that they put on the field lately.
Yeah.
Tell you that much.
Yeah, that's true. There are certain scenarios where you're
just
like,
just get Bland the ball.
Yeah,
he's going to make guys miss.
Yeah, you know he's got hands. Okay, you had Peyton Manning on the McAfee show today, and he's gearing up for the Pro Bowl games, Peyton versus Eli. You saw some of it last night.
Did they take an L? I think the AFC took an L last night in the skills challenge part of things.
Is that, I didn't even see what the final scores were.
I think the only thing they might have won was trivia.
Oh, okay.
I'm right about
that. That's pretty embarrassing.
Yeah.
Well, Peyton Manning coaching the AFC squad for the Pro Bowl games this weekend. He was on with the McAfee show talking about just his plan here.
Like, would I like to beat Eli in this Pro Bowl? Very much so. He's 2-0. He's talking about a three-peat. That's annoying. It's offensive. And I'm afraid if we don't win, they'll fire me and I won't get to come back. So, look, did I have 10 Bud Lights with George Kittle last night? Yes, I did. But I'm still studying film and putting in a good game plan.
Taking it very serious, but also boozing with George Kittle is something I'm very passionate about as well. Boozing and watching film, how often is that something you could potentially see?
One of the greatest scouts I ever was with was a guy named Scott McLuhan. Scott McLuhan. And you could give Scott a list of 10 quarterbacks, college quarterbacks, and a case of Dos Equis. And by the end of the dose, by all time 24 beers were gone, you would have the best list of quarterbacks you could ever imagine.
Give you a little bit of conviction, give you a little bit of confidence.
Give you a little courage to talk about it. Yeah.
I know a lot of people feel like they play their best poker, which is definitely an academic type of mental processing game while, significantly inebriated.
Man, 10 beers with Kittle. That's a guy who he just seems like gets very rowdy.
Yeah. He's just getting warmed up at 10, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
George Kittle.
Yeah, he like Peyton was like, "All right, thanks, man. It's been a good time." He's going to go up in the room, and Kittle was like,
"I could see
this was
Peyton
the,
trying to leave,
the
and Kittle warm-ups. And Kittle won't let him leave. No, stay, man. You got to stay,
bro.
Stay. Come on. When are we ever going to do this again?"
Is 10 beers the perfect amount of beers? By the way, if you're hanging out with a buddy talking football for like 3 or 4 hours,
if you're talking about a Bud Light kind of, or like a Stella Artois,
like you meet up at happy hour, the next thing you know, it's 10:30 at night. I mean, you had the most fun at 10 beers. You're probably not going to get sick. But you really didn't leave any meat on the bone. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. You right there. You approached the line. You didn't cross it.
Yeah.
And you look.
You're
back
not driving. You're not driving home.
Definitely not driving home. not driving home. But you're also not puking in your backyard at 4 a.m. Like there was that guy doing in my backyard recently.
Right. That's still trying to figure
that's
out.
That's always
who
embarrassing.
I was trying to figure out how many beers it took for me to hit a 5-iron out of the parking lot at the Inwood Tavern. A guy bet me I couldn't drive a golf ball over the top of Wolf's Nursery, and I looked at him, and we were both walking out. It was we closed it down at 2 in the morning.
Yeah, that's definitely on the other side of 10, Brian.
And he looks at me and goes, "I bet you $100 you can't hit a golf ball over the top of Wolf's Nursery."
He said, "Bet, bitch."
I opened my trunk. I got my 5-iron out. I smashed that damn thing.
You did it?
Yeah, but my club got scarred up pretty bad
because
I hit
bucks.
The concrete.
You did?
Yeah, but I got it over.
You get it in the air?
Right over the top of Wolf's Nursery. I had a little draw on it, too. Yeah.
That's impressive. I would have loved to have seen that. See, that's where I wish we had the cell phone cameras going so we could actually watch that.
But I think that was more than 10 beers,
There's a great Super Bowl commercial with Post Malone, Shane Gillis, and Peyton Manning for Bud Light. I just saw a clip of today.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious. Yeah. So Peyton Manning in his Bud Light bag right now, he's probably going to be hammered coaching up the game on Sunday.
Probably.
You'd have to imagine.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
All right. And it is the G-Bag Nation here on the Fan, and we're having ourselves a beer afternoon. It's brought to you by our friends at Stella Artois, a proper Anheuser-Busch bevy. So that's a perfect segue. And today they're supporting Francis Tiafo in the Dallas Open, which is going to take place right next door here at the Ford Center at the Star. The world of tennis biggest star is right here in Frisco, and of course, you know, it all washes down better with a cold Stella Artois. We'll hand one to you if you walk through the door. Say hi. We're just hanging out here in the lobby. And the C-Note's coming up next. Cowboys news of the evening here. It's the G-Bag Nation and the Fan. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. We're live at the Omni here in Frisco, thanks to our friends at Stella Artois. Dallas Open is right next door here at the Ford Center with the Star. That's a big shooter tennis tournament. So we're supporting that and having a good time. Francis Tiafo, the official tennis player of the Stella Artois brand. A lot of good stuff going on here. Tolo just asked us out of the show who would win at pool. And I don't know if any of us are claiming to be good, Lucius. Are you good at pool?
Imagine how many drinks I've had.
Yeah.
The more drinks I've had, the better I am.
Yeah, you know, I feel like I don't have a lot of pool confidence, but if you gave me three or four cold beers, I might feel good. But I feel like I'm the kind of pool player that hits about two or three good shots, and then the remaining three or four balls will be out there until the other guy runs the table.
I kind of thought you were good at bar games, darts, pool, that kind of stuff. Trivia.
I might be decent at shuffleboard. You ever do one of those bar shuffleboard games?
Oh, shuffleboard's a blast.
That's fun. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Did you guys come up with like a pool table in your house?
No.
Never had one.
We definitely did. Pop still has a pool table. It's one of the first meeting spots you get to in the house. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely I can hold my own. I ain't saying I'm great.
Yeah. We had one in our upstairs game room by the time I got to, like, high school or whatever. But it was just you have to have the perfect amount of space, like, to fit one in there. So it was just – it was less than ideal.
Yeah.
You know?
Ends up holding laundry and stuff quite often.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
That's what I saw at my buddy's house. But every now and then we'd clear it off and get super into it for like a weekend and be gambling and, you know, having a good old time. So definitely not against it. Segment of the Nation here, the C-Note, Cowboys News of the Evening, brought to you by the Frankels. Life's unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one's injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. It's also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. Yeah, Cowboys are looking to tackle the tennis business, basically, is what we're looking at right here. And other than the Cowboys coaching search, it's in the headlines. You know, I'm reading this story here off Bloomberg. It's a big deal, you know, in the big sports business community. Cowboys expanding into tennis with this Dallas Open, which is a $2.8 million tournament at the Ford Center. $1.5 billion development here in Frisco. Houses the team's practice facility, part of its world headquarters and all that. But this is the first ever ATP tournament that's happened here. And Charlotte Jones, along with John Isner, the Australian Open legend who played that three-hour marathon or whatever that was back in the day, you know, are kind of the faces of this deal and, you know, bringing tennis to DFW. I know it's, you know, one of those things that's being celebrated by your local tennis community folks. But the other thing happening big that's next door is the second interview with the offensive line coach Clayton Adams for the OC spot. And, you know, we're trying to, you know, get a handle on everything this guy's bringing to the table, trying to infuse some sort of optimism here into this offseason. And I think the shoe fits here. I don't think we're forcing this one or reaching for this one at all. I think it's a big positive that Cowboys are no longer in denial about who their quarterback is, because this guy Clayton Adams is going to, you know, bring you some run game emphasis and some run game diversity, as you know Chiafalo has talked about the multiple different ways that he likes to run the ball. They're no longer in denial about their own ability to find the right coaches that can bring this, you know, stuff to fruition. So I think this is a potential shifting of the gears for the Cowboys in the offseason. Number one, how they're looking at their quarterback. We're going with Shoddy, and we're pairing him up with an
OC who knows how to implement a better running game, and we're not thinking like we know best when it comes to hiring coaches.
Right.
You know, so I think this is overall good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's typical Cowboys being sort of late to the party on something
sure.
that we've talked about and people have talked about for a long time, and then finally getting around to it. But hey, I'm really, really glad they're here. I'm sure they're sick of every single coach and every single play caller talking about how they want to run the ball, but never really, unless they had the great Wall of Dallas on the offensive line and a top five pick at the running back position, could they really accomplish it? And at some point you're going, what's the deal here? Everybody wants to talk about it, but nobody wants to actually find the ways to do it. They just want to keep doing it. They want to talk about it, and then they just want to keep doing it the exact same way they've done it since the 90s. That's Garrett, that's Linehan, that's McCarthy. And now it's finally going, okay, if we actually want to achieve the goals that we're talking about, and Schottenheimer laid it out beautifully in the presser, then he has the self-awareness to understand, I know what I want, I can see it, but I've never done it before. So let's finally get somebody on the sideline that knows what the fat they're doing. And they didn't have it with Romo, and they haven't had it with Dak, and they just want to try and speak it into existence without doing the things necessary. It's like, yeah, I'm just going to go get my old Philbin offensive line guy that I've been doing it for forever. No forward thinking at all. No nuance. Just give me the guy that I've always done it with.
Yeah. No, I think those are great points. And, you know, Garrett had a good run from 14 to 16. When that was happening, it was obviously on the heels of drafting Tyron Smith and Zach Martin and Travis Frederick, and then having Ron Leary and Doug Free still there. But it was a great offensive line coach and Bill Callahan that it was allowing that to come together, you know, in the way that it did. And you know, he leaves, I think, after the 15 season. You had 16 with Zeke, but then it starts to fall apart and deteriorate. So maybe they're getting some expertise back in here.
Like you're seeing with this guy Clayton Adams, with average personnel on the offensive line and dealing with plenty of injuries as well. It's not like, hey, if Clayton Adams has just five super beasts on the offensive line, you can put a rushing attack together. He's doing it. No one talks about the Cardinals having a good offensive line because they don't.
Yeah. You know, and it's the key. I think Mark Schlereth told us about it on Tuesday night. With the shifts and schemes, what you're doing is giving your offensive linemen 8 to 10 inches of space to work with that they otherwise wouldn't have. You know, you're asking for years to just go bully that defensive lineman and move him over. Now, you know, the scheme is allowing you to, as the snap happens, shift that guy on average nearly a foot to one side or the other, which then allows you to get up on his side and create a bigger running lane.
Yes.
You know, and now maybe here with Clayton Adams, you know, the Cowboys have a guy that can help bring that into reality. They've had a good run game in Arizona. The Colts were very good in his 2 years. He was an assistant offensive line coach there, and I don't know how much credit he gets for executing that or helping teach that, but maybe that's where he learned. That would have been the Jonathan Taylor, I believe, running game for the Colts
five or
6 years ago.
I think Sirianni was there at that time.
And he was also at Stanford with David Shaw.
Yeah.
And David Shaw would put offensive linemen with tight end numbers. So he'd have
seven offensive linemen
running the football with the mentality, that tough, you know, if you're going to load the box, this kind of thing, nah, not on me today. We're still going to blow you out of there.
Okay, elsewhere here in the C-Note, Cowboys news of the evening, CBS Sports did a free agent for every team, going with the defensive tackle B.J. Hill, number 92 from the Bengals. Did you bring him up the other day, or was that Wolchuk?
Wolchuk, B.J. Hill.
Yeah.
The breakdown there, Tank, Chauncey, Osa, they might be, you know, heading elsewhere. B.J. Hill of the Bengals, veteran player, fourth worst run defense in the NFL last year that did the Cowboys. But he had 16 sacks, 225 combined tackles, 53 QB hits in his four seasons with the Cincinnati Bengals. So maybe B.J. Hill could, you know, help you start to remedy that at a budget.
Right, right.
CBS Sports has Osa, by the way, going to Minnesota. So pack your parka if you're heading up there. That'd be a tough transition. Osa, California guy, Texas, and then Minnesota. I think I'd have to have a long conversation with my agent about going to some of those frigid cities. Like, if it's anywhere close, we're going to warmth, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, at least you're playing in a dome there in Minnesota, but you're going to Chicago and Green Bay every year, and just your general, you're living.
Yes. Yeah.
Just living in the cold.
I mean, it's beating. Like, I got to take the garbage out on a Tuesday night.
Yeah.
I'm dreading that here in North Texas.
Right.
Yeah. You know, drops below 50 degrees, you get a stiff breeze going on. That's not a pleasant, you know, 3 minutes out of my life. Okay, Bucky Brooks with his latest mock draft, Brian. He's got your guy, Genty,
yeah,
coming to the Cowboys after watching the ground game flounder without an elite running back in the backfield. Jerry Jones adds a bona fide star in Genty to spark an offensive resurgence. I don't think the run game floundered. You know, I think maybe it underperformed or could be even.
They figured out some things at the end by just handing the ball to Rico Dowdle, and then also getting Zach Martin out of the lineup really helped him. And I don't mean that in a negative way with Zach. He just wasn't healthy enough to help you.
Yeah.
So they kind of figured some things out there. And then you also had, Steele playing better at right tackle. The point of attack tight end blocking got a little better as well.
Yeah, and I would still prefer to avoid taking that position in the first round. But if you tell me I have a Clayton Adams that is designing a top-tier rushing attack, I am much more interested in bringing in an absolute monster at the position and trying to create something like what the Eagles have, where you've paired good offensive linemen, of course, but a great rushing attack from a conceptual standpoint and a scheme standpoint, and then now you put a monster in Saquon Barkley behind it, and you take a really awesome rushing attack, and you make it a team that is literally running their way to a Super Bowl playing good defense.
I'm glad you brought up Saquon Barkley, Brian, because I think it's an important consideration at 12. Like, when we do open the big hole, and you're on the next level, and now you're looking at defensive backs on your left and right, are you going to beat him to the end zone? Because I think at 12, that's a huge factor. Like, are you turning
explosiveness?
Yes. Yeah, this guy is a finisher. And the thing about him is, though, he's going to make you miss, and then he's going to get in the open field. But there's plenty of times where maybe they've got caught up to him at the five, and now he's dragging dudes into the end zone. You know,
he's not a burner.
No, he's not. He's not going to be the explosive to and through the hole, and then he's going to go. And, you know, the things that he does, the catching of the football, blocking, the running of it, the make people miss, complete back, not coming off the field. He could be a workhorse back. We're going to talk about some backs in this draft that are going to need somebody to help them split the load. I think you're going to have like four or five guys that are that way, but maybe two. Henderson, Ohio State, I think is the last one of the, and I get him in the second round, of the backs that are workhorse backs. Just hand him the ball.
Three down backs.
Yeah, you know, Hampton, Johnson, Genty, Henderson. Those are the guys that I think could be three down. And after that, you're probably going to need to pair him with somebody.
It is the GBAC Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We'll have more draft talk here for you coming up at 4 o'clock. Some Senior Bowl standouts. And why I do believe that the Cowboys are leaning Genty. So we'll kind of pick up this conversation here coming up at the top of the hour. We are live at the Omni Hotel in Frisco, just right next to the Star. Come out here, hang out. It's a beautiful afternoon. You know, the sun's out here shining. You can grab a cold beer with us. We're right inside the lobby. And we're supporting this Dallas Open here, ATP event over there at the Ford Center. It gets underway tomorrow. So it's a big weekend of tennis action here in North Texas. Now, coming up next, Brian, it's time for some Krusty's Corner. What do you have in store for us?
Yeah, I've got some nerdy numbers for you for this Super Bowl. We'll do those next.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It's the GBAC Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Is that Pro Bowl practice over there? Are we doing that this weekend?
Wow. Yeah, we had the skills competition last night.
Nice.
And so, yeah, we're getting ready for a flag football game is what we're doing now.
It is feeling like a Super Bowl week already as we're here with you on a football Friday. We're flying out to New Orleans on Monday. And we're live today, live at the Star here right next to the Ford Center at the Omni Hotel. Join us for some fellowship. Stella Artois is here handing out coldies. It's a great place to swing on by, especially on a Friday. It's quitting time. You know it is. And and we'd love to see you. Here's Brian with some Krusty's Corner.
Thank you very much, General. Appreciate that. We've talked about it today, a little bit with Clayton Adams interviewing next door. Hopefully, get an update here before the end of the show that maybe they have something. I'm just kind of working the phones and trying to keep up to breast the best way to you know, that we can you know, maybe find this thing out, maybe break a little news if he in fact does get signed here.
And I want to make it clear, not only am I a big Dak Prescott fan, but I feel like every quarterback in the NFL in this climate should love it if a coaching staff in a front office says, we're going to get you a great running game. It's no disrespect to the quarterback.
No, I don't think
it's what time it is.
No, I think you're absolutely right about that. You know, the one thing, and especially it sounded like that Mike McCarthy, when they were doing the little bit of negotiating for this job, when it was McCarthy and Jerry, they agreed that Dak was no longer the mobile guy that he once was. And that's whether that's age, injury, you know, it's just not, I'm not saying it as a slam to Dak, but I'm saying it as a, hey, we have to do better running the football. We have to do things to help Dak Prescott run the football.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, we did, you know, Wolchek and I were part of a mock draft. We picked an offensive lineman yesterday, Josh, you know, Simmons from Ohio State. You know, I would like to believe that the Cowboys front office would consider taking an offensive lineman, moving Tyler Guyton to right tackle and letting him compete with Steele over there.
I was thinking about that actually last night and then some more this morning. Like, would they really do this? I feel like because Steele is under contract with not a clear out for another 12 months.
Yeah.
And you just drafted Guyton.
Yes.
I think sticking with this plan is what historically they would do. You know, they will stay with a draft pick thinking it's his opportunity. We need him to step up. But if they're bold enough now to say it's so important that after that year and, you know, what we've seen from Steele, we need a massive upgrade here, I would love it, you know, because picking at 12, your chances of a successful offensive lineman are a lot higher than picking in the late 20s.
Yeah, I just, you know, I do have so many questions about some of these offensive linemen. I have a lot less questions other than the injury stuff on Simmons. But these other ones I have some legitimate concerns about their playing ability. I'll say this too. Maybe if they can get Adams signed up as the O-line coach, that maybe that will help Guyton. And I say this because my sources who know Adams well as a coach talk about how he's willing to work with rookies or veteran players. And I think that's maybe last year, you know, let's be honest, Guyton has to mature. It has to become important to him. The work ethic, all those things have to like change. And if they do, well, then, you know, you'll probably get to the player that you evaluated. But there's a lot to learn. But I think the fact that Mike Solari wasn't on board with, like, okay, he's making mistakes, we got to pull him out of there, you know, instead of maybe working with him, coaching him, they just kind of pushed him aside, put Adoga in there, and then they said, here we go. But that also happens to a organization that the coaching staff is trying to save their jobs.
Yeah.
Instead of working with him and trying to make him better, you immediately just put him to the side. And he goes, listen, that's going to be somebody else's problem when we get fired.
And that's part of the problem with not just cutting your losses with McCarthy last year and riding out this 1 year, because all those bad things start to happen. You're making an investment in a guy in Tyler Guyton.
Right, right.
And now he's going to get part of it to his own doing, but he's going to get the short end of the stick because you wanted to keep McCarthy around in a lame duck year, and now everybody has to act that way, act accordingly. Save my own rear end, even if it means messing up potentially some things that are more big picture.
Yeah, that's my hope, that maybe it a fresh start for him. You know, just that. Now, what sucks for him also, though, is second year, his second new line coach. You know, another new line coach to have and to deal with. You know, to have to deal with. You kind of say the same with Micah Parsons. All the defensive coordinators he's now having to play through as well. But you know, Mike is further down in his game. You know, than where Guyton is. But this offensive line has to improve. And I think the start of it would be if they could get Adams signed up. And I think, honestly, as much as I would love for them to take Jeanty, if Simmons was on that board, I think they have to consider that.
Yeah.
I think they absolutely have to consider it, not only for their running game, but for Dak Prescott and, you know, protection and things like that going forward. That kid at Ohio State's ready to play. I mean,
with as many needs as you have, getting redundant at tackle with a premium pick.
Yeah.
But better be a hell of a player, Brian.
I hate it because we've gotten so accustomed to plug and play here.
Yeah.
You know, and last year, your center, you plugged him in. Kid hadn't played center in forever, and I don't think he let you down. You know?
Well, you definitely don't want to pass on Michael Jordan because you have Jim Paxson at two guard. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, it's going to take a lot for me personally to move off Jeanty for me personally, but I would consider it for Simmons. I would absolutely talk about that.
It's a strong endorsement.
I would consider that. And I absolutely love Jeanty. All right. I promise you some nerdy numbers and stuff like that. This comes from my friends over at the Next Gen. This is what's provided to the teams. This is not, hey, the fans get this. No, the teams get this type of information. So just want to go through. I want to talk a little bit about Steve Spagnuolo versus Jalen Hurts. And these are some of the notes that they put in their packet here for their teams. The Chiefs rotated their safeties after the snap, i.e. disguised coverages, 37% of the snaps during the regular season. That's 14th highest in the league. But they have done so on 46% of those snaps through two playoff games.
Yeah.
So they're going through more disguise.
You can't grade the Chiefs on what they do in the regular season on either side of the ball. They get to the postseason, and now this is a completely different animal that you have to deal with.
Well said. The AFC Championship game, they disguised coverage on a season-high 56% of the snaps.
Wow.
That's their third highest rate in the game under Steve Spagnuolo. Now, here's the matchup they call. The Chiefs have disguised their coverage on shells 41% of the dropbacks against the Eagles over their three matchups since Hurts has become the starter in 2021. This is the highest rate among any of their opponents with multiple matchups.
Mm-hmm.
Against all other opponents, the Chiefs have disguised their coverage on 33% of their dropbacks. What do you think they're trying to do with Hurts?
Well, they're trying to slow him down. He's known for being a slow processor, hanging on to the ball too long. He takes plenty of sacks because of it. And so that's one of the biggest knocks on Jalen Hurts is just his inability to process at a quick, high-speed level like what you're seeing with Jaden Daniels right now and that virtual reality helping him out a little bit. Jalen Hurts is like one of the first guys you think of that could really benefit from that virtual reality stuff.
Blitz. We're going to talk a little bit about the blitz and where it hurts. Jalen Hurts faced an off-ball blitzer 25% of his dropbacks this season, which is the third highest in the NFL, including 61 dropbacks with an off-ball blitzer. Okay, like an off-ball linebacker, safety, secondary player. From the right side of the offensive line, across those 61 dropbacks, Hurts was pressured 44% of the time while being sacked on 15% of those dropbacks. When not facing an off-ball blitzer from his right, Hurts was pressured just 31% of the time, including an 8% sack rate. So the matchups. The Chiefs blitz an off-ball defender at the fourth highest rate in the NFL this season. That's 27%. Primarily doing it from the offense's left side. That's right at 16%. However, across Steve Spagnuolo's three matchups against Hurts, he has sent an off-ball defender from the offense's right side 18% of the time compared to 12% on the other quarterback since 2021.
These analytics are very important, man. You just hope you have a coach that's paying attention to it as much as Steve was, or I know Belichick has. you know, the coaches that are prioritizing this in their preparation to get are harvesting gold, Brian.
They can, yeah, absolutely. And I think that you have to when you dive into these numbers and stuff, when they talk about, oh, how do they stop the tush push? Do they run it to the left? Do they run it to the right? There's trends and things like that that you can dive into and kind of get an idea of, like, okay, this coordinator, like Kellen Moore, is not adjusting. He's doing it this way, and he's continually doing this way. Now it's up to Kellen Moore to be able to, but it, like a Steve Spagnuolo, who's really smart, Steve will keep something at the end of the game,
right,
that they haven't seen.
Yes.
They, I mean, he will show them like they did with Buffalo, the last play. He shows them the blitz off the edge, and he kept showing it and showing it and showing it. And to the point where they weren't bringing anybody, then Buffalo immediately just slides the line away from it. Well, what happens? The last time he needs it, he brings it, and he gets a free rusher home, and they're off the field on fourth down.
He's thinking three or four moves ahead. That's the difference of the greats.
Yeah,
they're setting you up,
and they do it on both sides of the ball as well.
Yeah.
Do you feel like which group do you feel like, and we'll get into it like when we get to New Orleans to talk about which group though do you feel like which coordinator has to be on it for Kansas City? Is it Spagnuolo or is it Andy Reid?
Oh, I think it's Spagnuolo, because there's the big opportunity. If you can figure out a way to stop that run and pressure Hurts, then I think you got him. You know, where I think a relatively generic offensive game plan can get the job done if Steve's in his bag.
And one final thing, if I could, this is on Saquon Barkley. And this is talking about Saquon Barkley, where he runs the football. Saquon Barkley has gained 344 yards on 37 carries. That's a 9.3 yard per carry average right there outside the tackles this postseason. His 344 yards and five touchdowns are each the most by any player in the postseason in the next-gen era. And his 185 yards or over expectations are over plus 100% more than any other player since 2018. So how well that Kansas City is able to play the edges. We know they can play the inside with Bolton and linebackers and stuff like that, but how well they can play on the edges is going to be key. Mm-hmm. With Karloftis and those guys, they are going to have to be on it, because that ball, I think, is going to go on the outside, especially with the way Barkley's having some success.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. Barkley's the guy that he's their explosive playmaker.
Yeah. Yep.
Thank you, Brian.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner every afternoon, 3:40 here in the GBAC Nation. We are live at the Omni in Frisco. Join us. It's presented by Stella Artois, supporting Francis Tiafo in the Dallas Open this weekend. The Ford Center at the Star right next door, where we understand they are talking with Clayton Adams. The Arizona Cardinals offensive line coach might soon become Shoddy's right-hand offensive man. Okay. NFL Draft Big Board report. Will McClay says the draft aligns with team needs. What does that tip their hand towards? We're talking draft with you coming up next right here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan.